I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Game time. Taz and the Moose. Taz and the Moose with you right here on this Wednesday morning. CBS Sports Radio coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. As we kick off this hour, we're going to welcome aboard former NFL quarterback, SiriusXM NFL analyst, Pro Football Focus as well. He's all over the place. Bruce Gronkowski joins us now. Hey, Bruce, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Bruce, what's up?
Man, guys, I love your hype song. You could add Taz, Moose, and the Bruce in there as well.
There you go. Very nice.
I like that. I like it.
Very good. That's good. A lot to get into with you, Bruce. Let's start here. You know, a place that you played down in Tampa. Growing concern that Winston is what he is, an error-prone quarterback. He's going to throw interceptions. We saw that week one against the San Francisco 49ers. Arians now a new head coach to kind of try and revitalize his young career. What's your take on what Jameis Winston is, and do you think he could turn his career around and some of that conjecture about what and speculation about what's going on right now?
Well, Jameis Winston is that guy that has a high ceiling. You know, you can expect him to have a monster year at times. And then, yes, you have concerns that he's not going to protect the football like we saw the other day. But, you know, I still think there's hope over there. I think there's hope with Jameis Winston. I think Bruce Arians is the guy with his new OC, Byron Leftwich. You know, Leftwich played the game. He understands what quarterbacks go through. You know, he was a top-round draft pick as well, so he could get through to Winston. So if there's anyone to get through to Winston, it's those guys. And, you know, the other day was tough. It was a tough opening day. I think, you know, we see the stat line and Winston's turnovers and all that, but what you don't see, too, is the Sherman interception, the pick six, the running back goes a little too deep, you know, and it was just kind of a miscommunication there. I don't put that on Winston. So there's things like that just offensively as a whole they have to clean up, you know, but I wouldn't throw in the towel yet, you know, and I'm just trying to be positive for the young man that I think he could turn around. Yes, I think he has a lot of upside, but he has to learn to protect that football. They had opportunities to get back in that football game, and they just didn't take advantage of it.
You know, Bruce, speaking of panic level and, you know, throwing a towel, I should say, and panic level, you know, how about with the Browns, you know, after week one, that dud and getting whooped by the Titans, which is your panic level high for Baker and company and Coach Kitchens? What's your thoughts on the Browns?
Well, I just think, you know, that's probably the best thing that could have happened to them, you know, get them back to level ground now, just humble them a little bit. And I think Baker Mayfield even said that. But, you know, that happens a lot to young guys. I mean, I saw it in the college level after opening weekend. Trevor Lawrence trying to do too much. Baker Mayfield trying to do too much, thinking you have to do more than you did the previous year. And a lot of times it doesn't come down to that. It comes down to just executing the offense, taking what's called, and your big plays always come to you, especially guys that have unbelievable ability like a Baker Mayfield and a Trevor Lawrence. You know, go through your progressions, take the easy completions. You know, even if the defense is taking all your big throws away, let the offense get in a little rhythm and then things will come to you. But I just think as a whole, Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield couldn't get into a rhythm. I think Tennessee did an outstanding job just switching coverages up on him and giving him different looks. But that's what I said coming into the year. It's not always about talent and X's and O's. It's about how do you manage your players and get the best out of them. And that's what I'm interested to see this year from Freddie Kitchens is how can he handle some of this adversity now? That's going to be the big point for the Browns season.
You know, Bruce, so their next opponent is the Jets. And besides their field goal kicker, the offense against – and that's a good Bills defense – was downright terrible. They bring in Gase from Miami after he got fired down there. We know his work historically with Peyton, but he was kind of going to be a guy that's kind of rejuvenate this offense and get the best out of Sam Darnold going into year two. What about the concern level? Do you like the messaging from Gase kind of putting it all out of his players after that loss? Number two is, Do you think this Jet offense can, or do you think Gase is up to the task of making this a more dynamic offense with the young signal caller?
You know, I'm a huge fan of Sam Darnold. I think he has that ability that separates him as a quarterback to be one of the top guys. Because he has that poise, composure in the pocket, he can buy some extra time. He's almost like a point guard at times, attacking the line of scrimmage, but boom, he dishes it away, finds his receiver. And I think they have the weapons, you know, the way they utilize Crowder inside and Le'Veon Bell in the pass game. I like that. So I think there's a lot for this offense. And this game's going to be interesting, too, because, look, Greg Williams is coming back. You know he's got some harsh feelings right now to the Browns because he won that head coaching job. Now the defensive coordinator with the Jets. So that's going to be fun to keep an eye on. And both teams coming off tough losses. You know, the Jets were up, what, 16 or so, you know, on the Bills, and then they let the Bills come back. So that's a tough, disappointing loss for the Jets. And the Browns are going through the same thing. So something's got to give, and that's going to be a fun game to watch this weekend.
Well, staying consistent with the theme of teams losing, Bruce. So the Steelers, right? Steelers got whooped, as you know, by the Pats. And are you concerned, for the Steelers offense? I mean, Big Ben was 27-47, 276 yards, one interception and stuff. He looked, I was saying the moose, man. I felt like he, you know, he's never been fleet-footed, never been quick in the pocket or out of the pocket, but he really looked sluggish, like physically just looked slower and old. I don't want to be rude against the guy and disrespect him. He's had a great career. But are you concerned for the Steelers offense, or you feel like maybe they just ran into just this great team called the Patriots, which Belichick had this insane defensive scheme?
Well, I mean, you bring up a great point. I think it was the energy level. I think it was the energy level overall with that offense. They couldn't get things going. I mean, you have to look at the Patriots, man. When you play in Foxborough, it's a tough place to play. And the way the Patriots have played their last two outings against, you know, Sean McVay and the Rams and Big Ben and the Steelers, I mean, they held both teams to 3 points. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So that's a good defense, a good secondary. You know, but in Pittsburgh, look, that's why Antonio Brown gets more opportunities. The guy is talented, and he's a game breaker if you get the ball in his hands. So they're going to miss that this year, and they have to find someone else to step up besides Juju Smith. You know, Dante Moncrief dropped a few balls the other night. They couldn't get into a little flow or rhythm or get something going early. Vance McDonald, you have to utilize him more. And I want to see Big Ben under center. I want to see some of the play-action game. I know he's probably not a big fan of the play-action, but, man, with your running backs, with that offensive line, more importantly, you have to run the football, and off that you have to play-action. That's when you get your chunk plays. So I want to see more from that offense this season because, yeah, like you said, there wasn't energy, and I didn't feel it either as I watched them.
You know, Bruce, out to Kansas City and the Chiefs and what they were able to do. Obviously, Hill now banged up, but what we saw from Sammy Watkins week one against Jacksonville, can that continue? LeSean McCoy looked like he was the best guy running that football, the late acquisition after he was cut by the Buffalo Bills. But what about this Chief team this year seeming to be or wanting to be on a mission to finish the job, the team that failed last year in the AFC title game?
Wow, well, they got off to a great start, you know, and LeSean McCoy and Andy Reid go back, so he knows that offense. He knows what Andy Reid's asking for. And then you have the best quarterback in the league right now, Patrick Mahomes. So Sammy Watkins, watching the guy the other night on film, explosive, quick, making plays. I mean, they have talent all across the board there, you know, and I thought it was funny, too, as I break all these teams down and quarterbacks after the long Sunday night into Monday morning. You know, I laughed at Patrick Mahomes trying to no-look pass and miss Travis Kelce wide open in the end zone.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it's all over, you know, ESPN and stuff. But, you know, those are the things, too. And I know the game was, you know, getting out of reach and they were playing well and he's having fun. That's the thing I love about Mahomes. He has fun and he does a good job while he's doing it. And it's just backyard football to him. But the thing is, too, just like we're talking about Mayfield and Trevor Lawrence at the college level, take what the defense gives you. Run your offense. Continue to execute. Don't try to do too much. If Patrick Mahomes can stay that route with Andy Reid, the great coach that he is, and keep him really focused in and dialed in, he'll continue to have a lot of success, and especially this year. I don't think the guy's up for like a 50-touchdown year again, but I still think he's going to break the bar and set the new standard for the quarterback position and throw over 40. So the guy is just awesome to watch week in and week out because he's such a playmaker.
You know, Bruce, you played for Gruden, okay? You know, Gruden now in Oakland, as everybody knows, and they beat the Broncos, in the opener, 24-16, and Fangio, just the head coach of the Broncos, which is great success as a DC, you know, for the Browns, and just in football for all these years, for Gruden and Carr to go 22 of 26, 259 yards it is. Talk about that, man. Your thoughts on what Gruden is getting done, or maybe potentially could get done in Oakland, even though Brown is gone, Antonio Brown. I mean, they look pretty good.
Yeah, guys, absolutely. I was excited. And I was happy for the Raiders and Coach Gruden. You know, I played for him. He drafted me in 06 to Tampa Bay in the sixth round. And, you know, I played for the Raiders. Once a Raider, always a Raider. And I guess that doesn't stand for AB, though, right? Because he actually didn't play again.
No.
Got five kids.
But I was, I was excited, man. And Derek Carr, he played lights out. And our Pro Football Focus grading, we had him at four big-time throws. And he was magnificent inside the red zone fringe, dropping some dimes and, you know, just playing efficient and making those big throws when they're there. I love seeing that. Tyrell Williams came on. He was a great acquisition from the Chargers. I think he's a great player. Their tight end played well. So they have weapons offensively. Their young running back. I was happy to see them get a win at home just for the fan base, for Gruden, and what they've been through so far during camp. But that's a good football team. But I think it's going to depend. If we could see that Derek Carr week in and week out, they're going to be competitive every week. And it was good to see them start out that way. Like you talked about Vic Fangio, I'm a huge fan. I think Denver's going to be good this year. I like them picking up Flacco. But, man, the Raiders just outplayed them. And Denver never really could get anything going in the red zone. And when you settle for field goals, then you're not going to win a lot of football games.
No, you're not going to do that. Bruce, you know, you mentioned in terms of, you know, it's good to see Gruden back in the NFL. He brought you into the NFL, drafting in the sixth round. You know, when you think back to your days playing for John Gruden, what's the, you know, is there a story or is there a thing that pops to mind? I mean, he's a crazy, wacky guy. He loves football, lives, eats, and breathes it, Bruce. Yeah. But is there anything that kind of pops to mind?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we would watch film from 8 in the morning till like 5 at night every day in the offseason. It was nonstop. And it was just like that quarterback school he had on ESPN. It was, he's so entertaining. He's a great coach and teacher. But I would stay up to like 2 in the morning trying to memorize these plays during training camp because I didn't want to get in the huddle with Mike Allstott, Joey Galloway, Anthony Beck, and stumble over my words. And the play calls, the one that kept me up at night that I will never forget, this play call is Indy right 10, X short, fake 96 power king, naked left X slide.
Wow. You nailed it, my friend.
There you go.
Wow, look at that. Now, hey, listen, hey, Bruce, you could have just made that up. We wouldn't know.
We would have no idea. So you wanted to make sure you had all the plays memorized because you wanted to make sure you could break the huddle properly, right?
Oh, absolutely. The one time I called a play backward, I had Mike Allstott grab my face mask and cuss me out and say, which one is it? Get it right, young Brooks. So after that moment, I wasn't going to get any more wrong. And the funny thing, too, my year I got drafted, I was a six-round draft pick, and we had two first-round offensive linemen, Jeremy Trueblood and Davin Joseph. Davin Joseph was our first rounder. Jeremy Trueblood, tackle out of Boston College, was our second pick in the second round. So we go to rookie dinner during training camp, and this is when the rookies have to pay. You know, so we're out with Chris Sims, the offensive line, the quarterbacks, and the bill comes at the end of the night, and we're at Morton Steakhouse. Mm. And, you know, of course, all these guys are ordering up bottles of stuff.
Oh, my God.
Everything on the menu. The bill comes. $33,000.
Oh, jeez.
God. And how many, Bruce, how many rookies are splitting that?
Not enough.
Three guys.
Three guys.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, guys, I was a six-round draft pick. I didn't get much of a signing bonus. And Davin Joseph and Jeremy Trueblood, the first second-round pick, they basically split the bill, and I threw in a couple grand. You know, I pulled my weight a little bit. But I was like, man, I got so nervous that once I saw that bill, but the big guys, the big linemen up front took care of it.
I can't even imagine. Sometimes you go to CVS and the ticket, the receipt is long. I can't even imagine what the receipt looks like if the bill's $33,000.
Yeah, I think they were probably all ordering a little lobster tail and a little filet. Yeah. That's probably what's going on there.
Bruce, final one for you is, we talked a little bit about it earlier, concern level of teams, and sometimes people get crazy after the opening week. It's a long NFL regular season. Which team that played poorly week one are you most concerned about?
Man, that's a good question. You know, when you look around the league, there's a lot of ups and downs, especially earlier. I'm concerned with the Steelers. You know, I think it's still early. They've never been a team that start off on fire anyways to begin with. But I want to see more from that offense, and that has me a little concerned, and I want to see them bounce back and get things rolling. I have confidence they will, but I am a little concerned. I'm tied close to that organization because I played there, so emotionally I want to see them do well, but I also want to see more from that offense and the playmakers around them.
Bruce Gronkowski, Pro Football Focus, SiriusXM NFL analyst. Check him out there. Former NFL quarterback, long time in the NFL. Number of teams he played for and played well. Hey, Bruce, we appreciate the time this morning. Always do. And enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, all right?
Bruce, thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You too.
Thank you. You got it. There you have it. Yeah, you did a nice job.
Nice guy. Yeah, I like him. Yeah, it's a good story.
Imagine sitting there in the offseason with Gruden, 8 in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, just watching game film, plays over and over. Your eyes would start to bleed.
Dude, if watching Hard Knocks.
Look at this here.
And you just hearing him, what he was doing, color commentary on Monday Night Football, and watching him on Hard Knocks and stuff, and all his TV work. You could tell it's not shtick. It's not an act. This guy loves the game. Just loves it. The passion, just loves it, man. Loves football.
No doubt. What do you do in Hard Knocks again?
I love football.
Knock
on wood if you hear me.
Oh, there you go.
Everybody knock. We should do that
no,
here.
Knock on wood if you hear, if you're with me.
Oh, of course.
Oh, knock if you're with me.
Oh, I see. Sam's correcting me. That's nice. Hey. Sam's been on the show for a cup of coffee. He's correcting a co-host. That's like I said, Moose. It's knock on wood if you're with me. Is that what it is? Or is that again? I got it. See, I nailed it. See that? In the podcast, it'll sound like it was my idea.
You just asked Sam if that's correct. You're like,
we'll take it out of the podcast.
This is what it is. Sam, that's right?
What's a little bit of a touch? But regardless, we should do this here. I guess we should do the knock on wood thing here, but we got to clear it with Sam. We got to say.
That's it. We'll come back. We got the 3-4. It's Taz and the Moose on this Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On a Wednesday morning, 855-212-4227 is your number to call. And that's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll get to the three big headlines that you need to know here. On this Wednesday morning, Bogus is in the house. Final time this morning. What's up, Andrew?
Oh. Moose, Taz, this report is sponsored by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This is serious and has nothing to do with football. Antonio Brown's nonsense in Oakland set aside for now, with the Patriots wideout being sued for rape and sexual assault. Brown's former trainer cites two incidents in 2017, then one in 18 in the civil suit filed yesterday in South Florida. Both sides say they have messages supporting their claims. Brown's lawyer says any sexual encounters were consensual and that the woman has been after money from Brown for a while now. The Patriots have declined any real comment, but did say the league will investigate. Before all of that, the Patriots dealt veteran wideout Demaryius Thomas to the Jets for a 2021 sixth-round pick. Thomas expendable because of Brown's signing. Chiefs wideout Tyreek Hill reportedly expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with Sunday's collarbone injury. KC, though, not putting Hill on injured reserve. Raiders rookie safety Jonathan Abram getting a second opinion for the torn labrum and rotator cuff he suffered on Monday night. Abram likely needs season-ending surgery, but teammate Gerrion Conley seems fine after leaving the Bronco win on a stretcher with a neck injury. The cornerback could even play this weekend. The Milwaukee Brewers will chase an NL wildcard without Christian Yelich. The reigning MVP broke his right kneecap with a foul ball in last night's 4-3 win in Miami. Yelich may need surgery. Either way, he's done for the year. His manager, Craig Counsell.
He's a special player, and it's a joy to watch him play every day. And he's the best at what he does. So it's so not being able to see that every day is no good.
The Brewers are one game behind the Cubs for the final playoff spot because Chicago lost in 10 in San Diego 9-8. The Phillies are two behind the Cubs if they're holding off the Braves 6-5.
Anybody else smell that? You smell that? Anybody smell that? It smells like weed.
Ooh, I don't smell weed.
No, I don't smell that.
Yeah, Mike, you smell Mike.
No, I don't.
Oh, no. Sam, smell the weed?
No.
I got nothing for you.
A little ganja? No.
No,
I smell it.
I smelt it. Well, I saw it being smoked this morning outside the building when I came in.
Really?
But that was at 3:30, so I don't think that's
good morning,
lingering.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, no, I smell it. Okay, whatever.
I don't think anyone lit up a blunt walking around the studios.
No, and I usually go outside, so.
Yeah, it's just very nice. And you're walking around with a big joint.
Joint.
Sloppy Joe. 1950. I smelt it. I don't know. Whatever.
I wish I sometimes you smell a little toast, a little eggs, a little bacon.
Yeah, I don't
smell. Here comes Mikey B.
Mike's coming in here. You don't smell?
No,
I don't smell anything.
You know, they got these construction guys over here working. And they're coming to the vent, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe while they're putting up some drywall, they're toking on a little dupe.
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it sounds dangerous.
What would OSHA think about that?
Easy now. Easy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Easy.
I'm just saying.
The views and opinions of Taz.
I didn't name names.
No, I understand, right.
I see something wrong? I didn't know.
No. Right. Guys that are on a job working.
Oh, no. I would never.
Construction of building, smoking joints.
No, I didn't mean they, right. It smelled like something.
Give me the jackhammer.
We won't get an email about it.
Right. All right. That's true. The email is down.
No, how would I know I can smoke weed while I'm working? There was no email about it.
I smelled something. I didn't know. I don't know if something's going on in the newsroom. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's happening. I just smelled something.
It's time to harvest. That's what you're smelling. Our newsroom grow is ready.
No problem.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, I still have sports, right. For the seventh summer in a row, the Dodgers are NL West champions. They clinched in Baltimore 7-3. They're the first team in the playoff spot this season. And the Astros took a 21-7 home loss from the A's after winning their previous two games, 21-1, then 15-0. Finally, FIBA World Cup quarterfinals right now in China. The U.S. storming out of halftime. They have outscored France.
Really?
34-20 since intermission. They now lead at 72-65 with 8 minutes left in regulation.
People must think that you sit there and watch all these games because your passion. I know you watch a lot of games while you're working, but it sounds like you're watching that game. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I am watching the game back in my little cubby because it's a live sporting event at 8:30. So it's going to get my attention.
You're into it. Yeah. No reason to be snarky.
Plus, it's America, and it's France.
Yeah, you got to love that. Parlez-vous français!
Great job this morning,
my French man.
Fantastic.
Merci.
Off the charts.
There it is.
Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Antonio Brown accused of sexual assault in a civil suit.
Yeah, his former trainer, the civil lawsuit was filed Tuesday, Southern District of Florida. His former trainer, Brittany Taylor, they went to Central Michigan together before she transferred to LSU. A former gymnast accuses the newly signed Patriot receiver of sexually assaulting her on three separate occasions, 2017-18. Hop online, read the story. It's very, very graphic. I think it was in, what, the New York Times initially. It was online over the course of the weekend. I didn't see it over the weekend, but some people had it.
Right, right.
That this was coming down. The Patriots issued a statement saying, we are aware of the civil lawsuit that was filed earlier today against Brown, as well as the response by Antonio's representatives. We take these allegations very seriously. Under no circumstances does the organization condone sexual violence or assault. The league has informed us that they will be investigating. We will have no further comment while the investigation does take place. Brown's lawyer, Darren Heitner, in a statement Tuesday night, said that the receiver and Taylor were involved in a consensual personal relationship. Any sexual interaction with Brown was entirely consensual. Heitner said the Browns will leave no stone unturned and will aggressively defend himself, including all of his rights in countersuits.
Yeah, you know, Moose, as you know, we discussed this early in the show for a long time, this whole topic. And so I would definitely suggest anybody listening to the program right now, check out the podcast of the show at Apple Podcast, radio.com. I don't know if that's up and running yet, but check it out on Stitcher. It's free every day, the Taz and Moose podcast, so you can grab it there and hear the whole convo. But we got into talking about, Moose, about the Patriots, you know, and you posed a question at the tippy top of the show in segment one. Did the Patriots know about this before? You know, did they know there was going to be allegations like this and a civil suit towards Antonio Brown? You know, did they do their due diligence? Did their security teams do a check on him, a background, you know, that type of thing? Was that looked into? That they knew maybe about Brittany Taylor, that she was making these allegations. We don't know that, right? So we talked a lot about that, and I don't know. And then we came to the conclusion, well, you brought it up about Tom Brady. Well, with Tom Brady,
we invited him over to his house to stay.
Yeah.
And taking a selfie with him if he knew that this was coming down. I mean, ultimately, and it'll be interesting, before practice today, Bill Belichick will meet with the media in a conference call yesterday before this news came out. I'm sure that he'll face a bevy of questions about this later on this morning, Taz. But the Patriots, anyway you cut it, look bad. Either they knew and didn't care, or they didn't know. And anyway you cut it, as a franchise, not doing your due diligence, if you didn't know, Taz, you look awful.
That's right. They are literally damned if they do, damned if they don't. Kind of the right.
Is a belief the Raiders knew about that, about this lawsuit.
Right, right. And that could have accelerated, besides the phone call conversation that Antonio Brown put out publicly, which, by the way, side note, I don't know, we didn't just talk about this. Someplace I read it over the weekend or Friday that the producer of that video that Antonio Brown put out with John Gruden, the phone call and all that stuff, he's claiming that Gruden approved it.
Right.
Which, I don't know about that. I know, this is just off the topic we're talking about, but still, I don't know why John Gruden would have approved him to use that audio. But,
yeah, I don't know. You're right. That did come out that he did. That, you're right. They did come out and say that he approved it, Taz. I don't know why, as a head coach, you'd want that out there.
I don't know.
But they said that, you know, nothing, obviously, legally wise, they were not in the wrong. For this, Taz, listen, we're not here. We don't know how this plays out. We don't know if Antonio Brown's innocent and guilty. And certainly the accuser's making an accusation. We'll see how this all plays out civilly. We'll see if maybe there's any legal ramifications.
Right.
We'll see where the NFL investigation does go. For the New England Patriots, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
Because aside from the grotesque nature of the allegations and the criminal nature of the allegations, Taz, for a football team, this is not what you want. The Patriots do not want this. They do not want to have to deal with the distractions of this. They do not want to have to deal with the discussions of this. They don't. Antonio Brown is set to play his first practice today for the New England Patriots and wearing that Patriot helmet.
Yep.
This is not something that Bill Belichick wants.
No. And I was saying this earlier, man, that the distractions, no way in hell. And they knew there was a chance, the Patriots, they probably knew there was a chance at some point during the year there might be some kind of distraction. I don't think they ever thought it would happen before his first practice. It's like unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Like, this guy hasn't even practiced. So, you know, and we talked earlier, too, about this. That's why I say there's a lot to cover. You listen to the podcast of it. And by the way, we're finding out that radio.com is still down as we do the show live right now on radio at 8:35 a.m. Eastern. So radio.com is still not working. So get it at Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You know, we talked about it too. The Patriots, they got it. In this contract, they got to have an out that they could, if they want. I got a feeling there's a chance they might cut this guy. They might cut Antonio Brown because I said earlier, I don't think Robert Kraft is the owner. Like, I don't think they knew because everything going on with him and massage parlor and all that stuff. Man, I got to tell you, I don't know why he'd want. So if he knew about this, why he'd want this player on the team if he's being accused of this, and if he knew there was going to be a civil lawsuit and that this woman's saying these things, I don't know why you'd want this person on your team if there was any near truth of that or just that attention, you know?
I could totally agree. So we'll see how it does play out. And Belichick, in about 3 hours from now, will be chatting with the media, and that presser is going to be a must-watch. All right, next.
Number two.
Christian Yelich out for the season with a fractured kneecap.
Yeah, Brewers victorious, Taz, but I'm sure they'd rather lose the game and have the player. Because Yelich fouls a ball off of his right kneecap. Fractured kneecap, a very painful injury. He is done for the year. He was going for his second straight MVP. He was right there with Bellinger and Alonso and Rendon with the Washington Nationals as your leading contender to be an NL MVP. He's been that good. He's a wonderful player to watch. Milwaukee Brewers just took a monumental hit. It's one thing to replace, you know, an everyday player. It's difficult to replace the guy that's kind of the engine to that entire team, and that's exactly what Yelich is.
Absolutely, and it's a shame. It's just horrible. I can only imagine. I've had knee injuries, like I said earlier. Never broke my kneecap. Never had something like that happen. This is like, a fractured kneecap. That's no joke. That's kind of painful as hell. This guy's 27 years old, prime of his career, tremendous player. You know, just really athleticism, his speed, his power to hit the ball out of the ballpark.
No doubt.
He's not a big, heavy, thick guy. Top of the first inning when he fouled off the ball, off his kneecap, just stinks. It just really is horrible for him.
Just terrible. And for the Milwaukee Brewers now, I know it's next man up. You know, you heard from their manager, their general manager after the game last night, and what more are they going to say? They're going to try and continue to win games without him, Taz, but it's going to be difficult here on the Milwaukee Brewers to then go out there and catch the Chicago Cubs, the team that they're chasing for that second wild card spot in the National League, without their best everyday player.
Number three.
The Dodgers win the NL West for the seventh consecutive season.
Dominance. I mean, that's it. Yeah. The Los Angeles Dodgers. Absolute and complete dominance in the National League West. They're one of the best teams, not just in the NL, but in all of Major League Baseball. Arguably the best team. They are the favorite to get through the National League playoffs and go to the Fall Classic, what would be a third consecutive year, Taz.
Yep,
but,
yep.
You know, with all that success, we got into a very good conversation earlier on the show. Check out the podcast. But with all that success, now it's set up for them. They got to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, and ultimately, you know, win a World Series and bring a championship back to Los Angeles. It's no doubt they're a great franchise. They keep developing young stars. They keep turning over specific guys on that roster. There's a lot to like what the Dodgers are doing, and their dominance and success is unquestioned. But with all that comes the idea of getting another opportunity to try and finally win that World Series, which has eluded them.
Yeah, it has, and that's tough. It's tough for them. I mean, great success here, no doubt. You laid it all out perfectly, and if they've just been an amazing franchise, and they have amazing players, obviously, for quite some time on this squad, man. It just, they're legit as legit can be. You know what? I mean, how do you not? I mean, you kind of hope they can pull this off and get into the World Series and win it. I mean, it'd be cool. I mean, I don't know if my Mets can pull a miracle. I think your Yankees are going to be in it. But it could be Yankees-Dodgers, right? There you go.
Could be.
Right? It could be. And I got to tell you, I'd have
could
to
be Astros-Dodgers.
It could be. Astros are legit, too. I mean, but I'll tell you, I'm kind of like I guess I'm a closet Dodger fan. I've never said that publicly. But I do like them for quite some time. I almost bought a hat, and I wanted to point that out also.
There you go.
94
beautiful
and 52.
Hat.
Yeah. I might buy.
Oh, they're great.
We went over hat conversations earlier, yes, but we won't get into that again. But, yeah, I have a plethora of Met hats. I might buy a Dodger hat. I've always liked them.
They're great, and it was kind of a strange scene. against the god-awful Oriole team down at Camden Yards, them celebrating a championship.
46-98, Moose.
Yeah, Dodgers in Baltimore. Well, Los Angeles is down in Baltimore celebrating their 7th NL West crown. That's a little bit of a strange scene. Boog's Barbecue in the background.
That's, I mean,
that's a little bit of a strange scene. But that's where they were nonetheless. And congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers on winning their 7th NL West crown. And Taz, we haven't gotten a lot into it today. I mean, we do sports and everything alike, but we'd be remiss if we did not mention 18 years ago today, our nation was attacked. Thousands of American lives were lost. We know in our nation's capital here where we broadcast from, not all that far away, less than a mile away or a mile and a half away is where the North and South Tower were when we were attacked. And so many heroes, so many lives lost, so many lives were affected, and our nation will never be the same. So thoughts and prayers, obviously, and a day of mourning throughout this great country, Pennsylvania as well. We'd be remiss if we did not, you know, obviously remember all those 18 years ago today on 9/11, when our nation changed really forever.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You like burritos?
Yes, we all love burritos. Thank you, Taz. As we come out of break here, it is Taz and the Moose here, a Wednesday edition on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206, the app as well. And as Taz mentioned, download that podcast, go to Stitcher, go to Apple Podcasts, the Taz Show as well. Hop on there.
Yes.
Because as you know, is out there for public consumption, Entercom has been hacked.
You set it up for me. They have, there's an issue.
Yeah, well, we have no email. We have nothing.
Yeah, there's no, it's been for a couple, yeah, that's a problem.
We could have gotten the
problems with hackers. We don't know what country.
And we got the email that video was coming.
Yeah, oh, the video. Yeah, for Taz and the Moose.
Right.
Could be, but the hackers got the video now. I'm like, the hell with these guys. They suck.
You must reply within one day, and it will happen.
You think
we'll
they deleted
24 hours?
You think they deleted the Taz and the Moose video email? Hey, yeah, congrats, guys, you got it. And then
nobody. And then, all right, we'll scrap it.
Right.
We didn't hear from those guys.
No, we didn't hear from them. It seemed like they weren't interested. Seemed like they weren't. They had no interest in that.
Oh man.
You know what? Let's go video the basketball drives. I hear that's good. Mike's like, I'm in.
The hackers are like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go get basketball drives. So we do that.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come aboard. Join the army.
No, join the army.
Oh, wait. Is there, you have a name now for your fan base? The army?
Oh, I just came up with it now. I don't have one now.
Here we go. I can't stop. No, I can't.
All right. What?
The army.
He's got the basketball drives army.
No, stop. There's no.
All right, I'll stop.
The BB drives army.
Yes.
No, the BB drives demolition crew. Nah, it's close. I'll think of something.
But who knows? Maybe that email did come, right, Taz?
It might have.
We'd have no. Well, we'll find out when the email does come up and get going again.
Yeah. So
strange scenario. It's really odd not having email. I gotta be honest with you.
It is odd.
Very, very odd.
It is hot.
To not have company email. To go in and be like, you click in the site and the site's down. You can't log it. It's very strange.
It is strange.
You almost feel naked.
Yeah, almost.
It's weird.
Almost. Yeah, it is weird because there's a lot of, you forget how important email is.
It is.
How much is involved.
No doubt.
You know. Now you got to actually, like, you know, communicate. And now, you know, with us, usually would have group emails. Now we get here earlier and we have sit-down meetings before the show.
Now you actually might have to pick up the phone, make a call.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Why are you calling me? Something wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the email's down.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Right or wrong, dude. That's the thing. Right?
Hopefully we get a gap back up
hope
and running
so.
Relatively
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen soon, right?
I would hope so. I'd hope so. Yeah. But, yeah, so, if you're... If you're a fan of the show and you've sent Taz and myself an email, we've yet to respond. We're not ghosting you.
No.
We have no idea you sent it.
Yeah, it's been somewhere, some country. We don't know. It could be.
I have no idea.
It could be something. Okay. We could be something. We don't know what's going on.
Hubert?
That might have been it. I don't know. That might have been it right there.
That was it. Here we go. Here's the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Hello. Hi, Michael.
All right. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton talked about what's helped his body recover. Sam, hit the cut.
Thank you. Sam?
Not much change, man, as far as, you know, wishing I, you know, had certain throws back. The effort was there. I mean, tired of being hurt, man. I hate being hurt. I hate being hurt. But outside of that, you know, the vegan is veganism and eating plant-based is a life-changer for me. And then, you know, on top of other things, but, you know, a lot of treatment and support cast members that help my body recover at a rapid rate.
Would you go? Would you go vegan to help your body?
No,
I would not.
No, I would not.
No,
if I went vegan, I'd be in a real bad mood all the time.
No,
I would be very cranky.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I can't imagine not being able to have a nice steak at some point.
I eat meat. I'm a meat guy. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it don't matter. If it's deer, cow, I'll eat rattlesnake in a pan. I don't care. I'm a man's man.
All right. Good food choice. Rattlesnake.
Yeah.
What is it? So,
what are you like?
Was it Silverado?
The Wyoming guess. Cowboy all of a sudden.
I know, right? Exactly. I can't. I know a lot of people say you go to plant-based, your body feels a lot a bit better. It's not natural to break down, you know, meat and animal flesh and everything like that for your body. I get all that. My wife hasn't had. My wife is gave up. Donna gave up meat 2.5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's
hard to do.
She feels better. Hard to do.
Hard to do.
Hard to do.
I talked about a while ago. I know a guy, a wrestler, Austin Aries, big plant-based guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how he keeps muscle mass. We had a whole long discussion, him and I, about it. He gets a certain protein powder.
Yeah.
That's a whey, not whey, that's a plant-based protein.
Yeah, she does all that. And now they're making it a little bit easier, Taz, because they're making stuff that looks like meat that is not meat.
Absolutely. The burgers and stuff.
The burgers.
Tofu Jones.
No doubt. The Incredible Burgers. So you're seeing those pop up all over the place, and which is a very good brand.
You like tofu?
I do. A little bit.
Not
you know,
that's
I like
gross.
Tofu in hot and sour soup.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. Chinese Takeout Jones.
Yes.
That's the only time I do like it.
Yes.
Hot and sour soup. Let me tell you something. You go to a Chinese takeout place in the wintertime, when it's cold out, you get yourself a little pint of hot and sour soup. That's badass.
Oh, it's great. I agree with you.
The sodium
warms
takes
the
a little higher in it, but it does.
Yeah,
it's
warms
nice.
The soul. I agree with you. It's
my wife makes unbelievable chicken soup.
Oh, nice.
Like real chicken breast shredded in it. Then she pulls the breast out of the soup and makes a chicken salad. I might have to bring some in one day.
Very nice. Yeah. Look at you.
Oh, no, it's good, man.
Got a chef in the house.
My wife's a very good cook. I'm
nice. You're lucky.
Blessed. Mac and cheese Jones, unbelievable. Her mac and cheese, people have told her she ought to open a business. I want to get a food cart outside and have her cook a bunch of mac and cheese. And after work, I just jump in a food cart. Her and I, we go home. Be great. Serve mac and cheese all morning?
At 7:30 in the morning. Come get your mac and cheese. Yeah, I think you'd have to hang around for lunch.
I know, right? Let's go.
I don't think many people here. Have your cup of coffee and a nice bowl of mac and cheese to start your day.
Later on in the day. I'm going to bring some in.
It's delicious.
It's amazing.
I can't wait. Forward to it. Sam, good job. Mike, good job across the way. Bogus with the updates. Bruce Gronkowski joined us earlier on the program.
Yes.
Taz, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, all right?
You too, sir. Everybody, thank you.
All right. Till tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.